on the phone from Sydney this afternoon, Steph Penny, who is the author of Surviving Singledom and a blogger on her website, which is stephpenny.com.au. Welcome, Steph.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's great to be here.
Hey, Steph. So for listeners who are tuning in this afternoon and don't know anything about you, tell us a bit about yourself firstly. Are you actually single?
I used to be. I started writing the book Surviving Singledom when I was painfully single at the age of 29 and then happened to meet someone and we got married. So I found that most people in my church, at least, were married by the age of 21 and onto their first child by the age of 22, you know.
Yeah.
So by the time you're 29, like I was pretty well set into bachelorette mode.
Yeah, it's weird like that. It just seems to be that way in the churches. Outside the church, it's okay to get married. They kind of push you to get married later and later and later to pursue careers and other kind of things like that. And in the church, it seems to be the other way. Everyone's getting married, like, by the time they're 21. Mm. And then by the time, like you said, you're 29 and you're just starting to feel hopeless.
That's yeah. Right. That was certainly the case for me. I was starting to question myself. You know, what am I missing? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not praying hard enough? I wondered if it was about, you know, my spirituality. And then you start talking to people and you start hearing really helpful pieces of advice, like maybe you've got some unrepentant sin in your life.
Yeah, that helps.
Indeed. So, yeah, it can be a very difficult time.
Yeah, definitely. So the reason I got you on here today is because this whole week God really touched my heart because my flatmate, she is 40 and I'm 21 on the verge of kind of, I've got a boyfriend on the verge of, you know.
Don't say it.
Engagement, I like to say because I feel like I'm pretty close. We're getting there.
But my
flatmate, she's 40 and she tells me all the time, she just feels like she has missed the boat. And I feel like there would be a lot of our listeners listening to this at the moment feeling that same way. So how did you deal with that yourself from a personal perspective, Steph?
Yeah, look, I think I found it helpful to remind myself that society really overly values romance and marriage. And, you know, from a Christian perspective, it's, you know, whether we're single or married, it's in some ways irrelevant as long as we're living for Christ. You know, the Bible doesn't really talk much about you must be married. It's more about how are you helping the poor and are you really obeying Jesus at the moment? But in society, you know, marriage and relationships are held as this kind of ultimate prize in life, this sign of achievement, even as a mark of your lovability, you know. So you may or may not feel lovable or worthwhile as a person, but really, until you've got someone romantically interested in you, you know, you haven't really made it.
Yeah.
So I found it helpful to remind myself that the way society views and values people, i.e. through, you know, success markers like marriage, is not necessarily the way that Christ values and loves us.
So true. Yeah, absolutely. Share some of your own experiences, Steph, of dealing with singleness.
Yeah, so I was in a small community church around the time that I started to get, you know, towards the age of 29 and pretty frustrated about it. And I found that the church I was in, being small in size, was actually a really great place for me to be because people welcomed me into their families as one of their own. And I found that that's probably the single biggest thing that got me through my loneliness and my self-doubt and wonderings as a single person was when families would invite me round for, you know, their Father's Day celebrations, for example, because my family weren't local. I couldn't just, you know, pick up and go see them.
Yeah.
And families, there was even one family who would go off, like, every year on their sort of annual family retreat type thing, and they invited me along, and they treated me just like I was part of the furniture, which was what I needed. I needed to feel like I was valued and accepted on my own terms.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't need to, you know, have the society's markers of success in order to be welcomed in that community.
Well, Steph,
so that having that warmth around me and that unconditional acceptance, I think, is really what what carried me at that time. And sometimes we just do need our church family to carry us a little bit, you know. Yeah. Our reserves are a bit low. We don't have anyone to lean on at home. You know, if I didn't cook, then I went hungry.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to lean on other people.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Awesome, Steph. So the reason that I got you on here today is because I was really thinking about the subject of singleness, because in the church I've heard so many pastors say, firstly, that singleness is, you know, it's just God's plan for your life. It's just God's plan that you're single, so it's okay. You know, you're not supposed to find the perfect person, just be single and just be happy with that. Mm. And then on the other side, on the other end of the spectrum, I've heard pastors preach on that, you know, be happy in your singleness, but men and women are created to be together. You know, in Genesis, women was created for man and men for women. So I just wanted to know, what do you think of that? What's your thoughts from your perspective and writing and experience?
Well, I think I can definitely relate to that, because when I was single, I had a lot of people talk to me about having the gift of singleness, you know. I don't know if you've heard this cliche, but it's one that a few of my single friends have heard as well, where there's this insinuation that your singleness is from God, it's God's plan, and therefore you should be really happy about it. However, a lot of single people I know aren't necessarily happy about their circumstances. So it can be a bit of a loaded sort of statement. It may be God's plan that they're single. It may be God's plan that some people are married. But who of us actually knows that?
Yeah,
exactly. True.
Now, Steph, I've got a bit of a joke to tell you here. You are a humorous person, aren't you?
At times. Yeah. Very humorous.
Well, this is an example of a pastor prophesying over a girl at church. Mm. And he said to this girl, who was going through the singleness thing phase, and he said to her, I see you at a jetty, and the boat's moving away from the jetty, and I think God's telling you you've missed the boat. On a serious factor, that's a funny joke, of course, but on a serious factor, what would you say to single Christians who feel they have missed the boat?
I would say I think that's really understandable to feel down and miserable and doubtful about yourself and where your life trajectory is taking you. I mean, I felt that way myself, going, have I missed something? Am I doing enough to try and find a partner, a spouse? Mm. I think when you hang on to hope for so long and that hope isn't met, then that hope can start to kind of turn sour and become unhelpful and even turn to despair. So if someone's saying they feel like they've missed the boat, it could be that they're speaking out of that despair, or maybe they're starting to grieve the loss of, this is what I wanted my life to be, this is the kind of person I wanted to be, and the kind of relationship I wanted to have.
Yeah.
These are the intangible losses that I think single people often feel quite acutely. They're invisible losses. So we look at a single person and they look fine, they're healthy, they're all in one piece, they haven't lost any limbs, but they can be aching inside. And I think a compassionate response from us is what's called for. We're prepared to listen to them without necessarily wanting to jump in with cliches like it's God's plan, or without resisting the urge to kind of fix it.
Awesome. So you're actually in the middle of writing your second book, which is Surviving Childlessness. So tell us a little bit about that, your goals, and we'll try and get some more people to tell you their story about that.
Yeah, sure. I've started this sequel because after I published Surviving Singledom late last year, I had a number of people come up to me and say, oh, you know, could you write one about surviving marriagedom? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. There's really a lot of books already out there about marriagedom. You know, that's one of the reasons why I wrote Surviving Singledom, was to kind of meet that need that was out there. But what some people started to say to me was, no, Steph, can you talk about what it's like to be married and to not have kids? And I took that on board and sat on it for a while. And now my husband and I are at a time of life where we've made a decision to remain childless. And there'll be more on that in my book when it comes out, Watch This Space.
Okay. Hashtag Watch This Space.
it's an interesting place to be when you're still young enough to have kids, but you don't have them. And society, and, you know, even in the church, there can be questions around, you know, when are you going to have kids? And it's quite a personal question for some people.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that everyone just kind of feels they can ask that. So I think, you know, I wanted to write out of my own experience of childlessness, but also tap into others' experiences, because it was obvious to me from the get-go that others had a lot to say.
Yeah.
About their experiences of not having children, particularly in the church environment, where it seems a lot of programs and ministries are geared towards the family and the kids, and rightly so. I think that's what the church should be doing. At the same time, it can have this unintended effect of excluding those who are without families or without kids.
Yeah. Well, Steph, it's been great chatting to you this afternoon. You can get onto the website stephpenny.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for chatting. It's been a great insight into singleness.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.